Looks like we have delegation from every county, so do we want to get this one underway? See nods of assent and approval is Brady in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. If we want to start with a roll call from Grand County.
This is Brianna from Grand County. Sorry, that caught me off guard. Brianne Davis, Grand County, check.
Excellent, thank you. And Emory County.
Hi, this is Kelly from Emory County.
Kathy Kearney from Emory County.
And I saw that Jordan was going to be a little bit late from Carbon County.
Larry won't be on, he's traveling.
So that leaves Zach Kanakis. And Debbie, where are you from?
I'm from Carbon. Sorry, couldn't get me unmuted.
And all of the call-ins, who do we have on phones?
Lynn Hanson, Carbon County Attorney's Office.
Brandy Wagner.
So from the office, we have, this is Brady. We have Sarah on, Brandy on. I don't believe Orion's on yet. And Brittany is on as well. There's a couple numbers I don't recognize, but
Jessica, one of those was Bree also.
Okay.
And Jessica's here.
Yeah. And Tracy, but my picture's up, so.
All right. Brady, you ready to drive?
Well, I think if you want to do approval of minutes, and then we can take over, well, or public comment. I don't know that we have any public on, but we can open it. And if you want to do minutes, and then I can take it from there.
All right, so we will open the floor up for public comment. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from November 28th, 2023. Any comments, amendments, or corrections that anybody found in those?
Well, this is Debbie. And I would go ahead and make a motion to accept the minutes, but I have a question before it's official. Have we got at least six board members on? Don't we need, or do we have a quorum? One, two, three, four.
I see five.
Five.
Yeah,
I don't think we've got a quorum.
You can do it with five.
Oh, we can?
Yeah, that's a majority.
Okay, then then I'll make the motion to accept the minutes from November 28th, 2023.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
This is Brianne. I'll second the minutes from November 28th.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions? Excellent. All right. We'll move on to budget and possible approval clarifications and questions.
Tracy, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Are there any questions on the check register or disbursement listing? I haven't received any. I don't know that Brady has either.
I have not.
So if there's no questions, it's back to you, Zach.
Okay, no questions on check register and disbursement. Do I have a motion to approve those two items? Kathy, you're on mute if you're given a motion.
Sorry for the delay. I will so move that we accept the check register and the disbursement listings.
Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
This is Kelly. I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Seeing none, we'll move on with Tracy.
Okay. The next one is revenue changes. And so the COVID PPP HEA expansion money, they've given us more. We just love this. So, and they've also extended the amount of time that we have to use it, which is good. So the original date was July of 2024, and now we have until July of 2026 to spend it. And they gave us almost another $1 million, $964,000. So we're working on projects and things we can do to help spend that money, but it does help carry us on for another couple of years. And the other one is new funding. So we had PH infrastructure funding. As you know, the infrastructure one money is what we're using to offset the health insurance. But this new one is another $10,000, and it is for data modernization to help with software issues. And it's another $10,157. So we would like to get those approved by you guys so we can spend them. If you have any questions about it.
I have some questions about the COVID monies.
Okay.
Are we pretty restricted in how we can use those funds? Is it only for COVID?
No, it's for education. So it's to help us vamp up for any outbreak or something that we may have. And so we can use it for trainings and things like that too. So we're using a lot of it for staff education, that type of stuff. So when we're going to different trainings and stuff, we're using this and helping pay some school expenses and stuff like that. And I know the business managers, we have a meeting next month. And so when we get funds like this, we kind of all get together and try to talk about different ways we can use it. And I think the health officers group also does that, see what other health departments are using it for and see how we can best utilize these funds.
Thank you.
But this, Tracy, this is Debbie. This mm-hmm. money is not, it is not for administering the COVID shots, correct?
Right. None of the money we have ever gotten is for administering COVID.
Yet. Okay. I just am double checking.
Yeah. We can put some time in for the time the nurses give a vaccine. We haven't done that yet because right now we're not doing COVID vaccines. We've just got some VSC stuff. So, but you can't use it to buy any vaccine.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any reporting requirements or additional things that you'll have to do as a result of receiving this funding?
Oh, now that's an interesting question. So before this funding that we had that ended in 2024, they just changed the categories. So we had 8 categories that we had to break it all up in through November. And as of December 1st, which is when this amendment came out, now they want it all lumped into one category. So, yeah, it's, we don't know. So So we'll now lump it into one category until they amend it and tell us they want it done differently. So there's actually a little bit less.
So it's actually going to make the reporting, at least in the short term, easier unless they change their mind and then want you to untangle the wires again?
Right. And it's government. We never know what they're going to do next.
Well, that's why I always ask is, like, it's one thing if it's, you know, they're giving you free money. It's another thing if they're going to make your processes harder by receiving it.
Yeah.
This is Debbie again, and I know that we're talking financial, but just a quick question. How has to do with COVID? How are you getting reports of COVID in the counties?
That would be a Brady question.
We get kind of generalized reports of trends, and right now COVID along with all respiratory illnesses is on the rise, but I don't think it's anything alarming. I can send out the latest graph we had to the board after the meeting, if you'd like to look at that. But generally speaking, that'll only be people that end up, you know, in the hospital. The vast never hear about it.
I have a quick question about the data modernization funding. Can that be used towards the new software that I know the health department had been exploring?
So we actually are looking at more software. So that can be used for it. We're actually kind of looking at doing something with, it's called civic review and environmental health and being able to notify those. But the prepared or the PPHEA money can also be used for data. And so we have several alternatives of using different types of COVID funding for data stuff. And we had bought the one big program already that had been approved, and that is no longer going to work. So they're actually refunding us money. So the next problem is now we have to figure out how to give it back to them.
Okay.
So that's always a challenge too.
Okay. Thanks for all that.
All right.
All right, so I will entertain a motion for the approval of the revenue changes.
This is Brianne. I'll make a motion to accept the revenue changes.
Excellent. Thank you, Brianne. Do I have a second?
This is Debbie. I'll go ahead and make a second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve the revenue changes. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Let's look at the policies of employee health policy and employee immunization programs.
So, Zach, I'm wondering if the board would be amenable to a quicker rearrangement of the agenda. I think we'll go over the policies now, but then I'd hope it to go over the tobacco issues that we've been having. After that, in light of some of the time we've had, we've got people online that might want to get off. So, Tracy, can you take the policies and then we'll move to the tobacco issue?
Tracy, you're muted.
I didn't want to talk last time. Okay, so Sarah has updated the employee health policy, so it's actually more current to what we do now. And so I don't really know what to tell you that she changed. It's just, it matches what we need to do. And so she's put in the required immunizations The TB screening wasn't broken out before, and so she's put that in here. It just, our old one just said you needed a TB test. So now it's in here for how often it needs to be done and those type of things. And, yeah, there's a post-TB exposure procedure, which wasn't in there either. So a lot of it relates to TB now, where it didn't have all of that before. And then the reasons why we need the different vaccines. And all of these, if it's an employee, everything is covered. We will bill the insurance. You know, if the employees have PEHP through us, we do bill PEHP. But if there are any copays or if the employee does not have insurance, then we do not bill anything for that.
So I have a question about the employee health policy and then under the employee immunization program.
Mm-hmm.
Under number 3, under the employee health policy, tuberculin tests, it states tests will be given upon hiring, unusual exposure, or ongoing transmission.
Mm-hmm.
But on under immunization program, employee immunization, number 2, it states a yearly tuberculosis screening. So am I reading that incorrectly, that maybe there's a verbal screening that they do, or are they going to actually do a TB test or whatever is required?
So on, let's see, the two-step method?
No, it's under required and recommended vaccines under the employee immunization program. Okay. It doesn't jive with the employee health policy number 3.
Okay, so are you looking at the tuberculosis screening one?
No.
Tracy, I could probably help with this if you want me to.
Oh, yes. Good. Sarah's on. Yay. I didn't know she was on, so she can
yes,
help.
I am on. So let me – hang on one second. I think I'm on twice. I just got back from Moab, so let me get off of my phone and I will get on. Okay.
Can you guys hear me now?
Okay. Very quiet.
So let me get my camera on here. So with this, so we looked at a lot of different policies. I did some research, and a lot of places aren't doing yearly TB screenings anymore because they're just not finding that it's needed. So we updated to just do the screening upon hire and then upon exposure. So I probably, when I updated the TB, I missed updating the IMS policy, so I will update it so that they match.
Okay.
We had the tuberculin exposure plan separately, and I wanted them together so that everything's in one spot. So that's why I had to resubmit the policy with the TB exposure plan, because that's something else that I've updated. So I don't know how it works, but I will update those to get them to match. But I don't know if you guys need to look at it again next time or what the process is. But that's probably why it's different.
Okay. I just picked up on that and went, that doesn't say the same thing.
Yeah, that is why, because I updated the IMS policy first and then did more research on the TB. So.
Okay. Thank you.
So a question that I have is, what are the differences between the required and recommended vaccines? And is this just speaking in generality? Because I see birth first and 6 months. What are our lines of demarcation there between which ones you're requiring and which ones you're just encouraging the employees to take?
I'm pulling up the policy now. So that's just a so here we don't require anyone to get the vaccines. We would just highly recommend it, encourage, educate. Even during COVID, we didn't require anyone to get the COVID vaccine. I like everyone to be able to make their own healthcare decisions, so vaccines included. So we would just, that's why I put required / recommended, because those are, say they're vaccines required for school, sometimes in a work situation, but for us, they would be recommended vaccines. And as nurses, we would talk with the employee about the recommendations, why they should have them, but really it's their choice.
Okay. So, I mean, would we entertain the idea of removing required from there if we're not actually going to require them?
Yes. Yes. So I can make sure that that is updated as well. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you, Sarah.
Zach or Sarah, would it be appropriate to request that this come back with the changes and then approve it, or approve it with the necessary changes and hope that it all looks the way it's supposed to look? What would be the best way to do this?
I'm fine either way. I could submit it again for you guys to look at it. Whatever needs to be done.
I would probably say let's resubmit it again, just so that we can get more eyes on it, and hopefully some of the people that are missing, if they have questions on it, then we can get those in a timely manner for Sarah, and, so that she's not drafting this to infinity.
That sounds great to me. Thank you.
Okay, our next policy is the exercise policy. And the only change that we've done to that, it's highlighted in red. And our work days were 8-hour work days. And most employees are 8-hour work days. But we have a few employees, especially in the price office, who work because we only work half a day on Friday. We have several people who work 9 hours Monday through Thursday and then 4 hours on Friday. So we wanted to change this so that those employees who are regularly scheduled at something other than the 8-hour work day would be able to use the half hour of exercise that we allow people to use. Are there any questions? We are still doing the fitness, the swimming facility. We have several people who take advantage of that and do swimming pool passes. And we have several people that don't choose to do the half hour twice a week exercise, and they do use it for fitness equipment, new shoes, maybe help pay for a bike or a Fitbit or something like that. So we do have the option so that employees can choose whichever option fits best for them.
And so just to clarify, this is more or less a change in verbiage so that it's not the 8-hour day, it's the 9-hour day that some of the employees are working.
Yes. So we just changed it to their regularly scheduled days so that it would match what they're doing and not limit it to 8 hours.
Okay. Any other conversation on this? And I will entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move that we approve the updated employee exercise policy.
I have motion.
This is Debbie, and I'll second that.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve the exercise policy as written. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Okay, Brady, let's talk about tobacco.
Okay. I sent out a little bit of an explanatory email about this yesterday. Kind of indicated that we're going to have Jessica and Paige give some background on the situation because I think it may lead to further interaction with the board and appeal or something like that, but we're at the point of potentially pretty serious action, and I wanted you to be aware of what's happening. So Jessica and Paige are on to kind of to give some background and what's happened and where we currently stand with that business. So I'll turn it over to them.
Thank you. And I also have another health educator, Taylor Cook, here with us. Also on the tobacco team. So I just wanted to make sure that we have your support with the route that we are currently taking with the situation we have with a gas station. And just to give you a little bit of background, when the tobacco permits are issued, the store owner actually signs the license, and there's wording on the license that says that they adhere to uphold the rules and codes of the tobacco codes, and they actually sign it, and so they're aware of all the codes. And then we do the tobacco inspections every first and third quarter of the fiscal year, and we split them so they're only being inspected once a year unless a follow-up inspection is needed. And with the inspection, we will inspect the cigarettes, we'll inspect a tobacco product, so like a nicotine pouch, and then also a vape, and just to make sure they're all under regulations. We have a checklist that we follow, and it takes us right through. We have to check labeling on the actual product. It has to have specific verbiage. We have to check to make sure that the tobacco is behind the counter, that people can't just grab what they want. The worker actually has to get the tobacco from behind the counter. So those are the kinds of things that we look for in the inspections, and also that they're not selling flavored vapes. The only flavors that are legal under the general retail permit is mint, menthol, and tobacco flavoring. And the mint can only just be mint. It can't be like chocolate mint or anything like that, just straight mint. So have to make sure that they're adhering to that as well. And then if they, a retail specialty store can have flavored vapes. So those are legal. We do have one in Carbon County, but that's several hoops that they have to jump through for that permit. So a gas station would just have a general retail permit, which can only sell mint, menthol, and tobacco flavoring. Compliance checks, or also known as tobacco buys, is where we will send underage people in to purchase tobacco, just to make sure that the clerks are monitoring the IDs and things like that. So those are completed in the second and fourth quarters. And we do go to every store in Carbon, Emery, and Grand. And if there is a violation, the violation one is $1,000. Violation two is $1,500. Violation three is either a suspension of their tobacco license for 30 days or a $2,000 fine. So, and then fourth would be a $2,000 fine and or revoking the permit. So with this store, back in September of 2022, there were flavored vapes on the shelves during one of the inspections. A warning was given, and they did take them down. We did a follow-up inspection and confirmed that they did take those down because they're not legal to sell. So in June of 2023, when we did our tobacco buys, the underage gal went in and asked for a specific flavor, and the worker went into the back room and came back out and confirmed that they were out of that flavor. So that highly piqued our interest that they were possibly selling flavored vape still. So in September 23, we went in for the inspection, and we asked for a transaction log. And the transaction log is on our checklist, and it would state the name of the product, the date it was sold, and the time. And so we asked for the transaction log, and they stated that they didn't know how to get it from their system. So we said, okay, we'll give you a warning, but we need to have that transaction log within 14 days. So 14 days went up in October. On the 13th, we went in. No transaction logs were provided, and so violation one was issued for $1,000. And that was sent by mail and email. And then on, sorry, my light turns off. October 17th, so 4 days after we went in there with the violation, they showed up at the health department in Moab, and they wanted to talk with the manager. So I called him, and very, very nice conversation, explained everything in detail, what we needed, everything that the transaction log would entail. And I followed up also with an email, very detailed on what we needed and the timeline and so forth. So then on our follow-up inspection, November 15th, Orion actually went in. He's in Moab. He went in with our health educator from Moab, and he actually found a box of flavored vapes in the back room. So he placed a hold on them, and then we asked for the transaction logs again for the previous month, and they couldn't provide them. So violation two is given. They haven't paid violation one yet. So violation two is given, which is $1,500. So now they owe violation one and two. And that was sent certified mail and email to their different locations. Then through all of this, we've been in contact with the state and also our legal team on the proper steps that we need to take just to make sure our T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And they were in favor of everything we've done up to this point. And so on December 12th, we took the underage people there again, and they asked for the flavored vape, and they said no and don't ask again. So seems like they were adhering to policy there, but it is time for another inspection, and I just wanted to make sure that we have your support. The state is actually leaning towards suspending their license. It's either a $2,000 violation or suspension of their license. So a suspension would be for 30 days. They would have to take all of the tobacco products off the shelves, and they could not sell for 30 days. And then they would have to pay a reinstatement fee after the 30 days to get it back up and running. So, but with no payments of violation one or two yet. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention and make sure you supported a suspension of the license. We would have Graham County Attorney aware of it and our legal team aware of it as well.
What are the ramifications if they don't pay or if they don't comply? Like, they suspend the license, but I mean, realistically, a law is only as good as you're able to enforce it.
So we would have to get legal involved as well as the state to take it for the next steps. I think it would be in their hands at that point.
We'd be hopeful that after the suspension.
Yeah. We would do a follow-up
inspection
to make sure that everything was taken down, because we can legally pop in just to see if they have taken it down for a follow-up inspection that's allowed.
This is Debbie, and on these different visits, when there have been sanctions assessed, whoever went in, were they talking to the same person, or were they just talking to an employee and then a different employee, or were they talking to the managers, or, you know, is the message getting to whoever, to the owner or the
Yes. So
the official person in charge?
I believe so. The owner's son is the one that's running this particular location. And that who has been there for two times. And one of them, I was involved in the inspection, but I also did speak with the owner on the phone when they showed up into the Moab office. So yes, they're aware. There were different employees working the front, but the son who runs the office was there. And the violations are sent directly to the owners, certified mail.
I have a question. This is Brianne. If the 30-day suspension is enforced, are they still required to pay those two initial fees, those fines?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. Thanks.
This is Debbie again. If they are suspended, are they also in danger of losing their tobacco license?
If so, that's where legal would take it. If there were another violation, it does say that a revoke could take place on the violation breakdown.
So backing up and into just general questions, I guess buyer checks, are those, I guess, so my experience comes from alcohol in the DABC. I've worked with a business where they have essentially brought in somebody who essentially tricked an employee into going behind the counter to turn on a light, and they counted that as a violation. Is that the same type of thing that we're doing, or is it supportive in nature of like, okay, just making sure that you're following the letter of the law, or is it intended to deceive?
So when we do our compliance checks, we talk to all of our teams, and they take their ID. So usually it's like a 16-year-old or 17 or 18, or sometimes we even take a 19-year-old, but we ask them to show their personal ID. We don't say your birthday, nothing like that. So the person is supposed to scan the 16-year-old, 17-year-old's ID, and it'll tell them on the computer that they're underage. When that happens, the kid, we say, okay, buy whatever snack you're getting and leave. You don't need to tell them that you're, like, if they don't sell to you, they're doing their job, and that's what we want. So we try really hard not to, like, encourage the kids to trick them or, like, say, oh, my grandpa's in the car, though. I'm trying to get it for him. Like, we absolutely do not encourage that. In fact, sometimes if the clerks, because sometimes they get a little irritated with our 16-year-olds because they should know better, right? We tell them if they get a little irritated, just say, hey, I'm with the health department. They're outside. You passed your compliance check. We're good. Like, we want full transparency with all of our retailers.
And we try to maintain a positive relationship. It's not that, like, we're out to get them by any means. It's we have had some people get upset about them selling, but then once further education is given, we're back to a positive relationship with them. So.
And because, I mean, I guess that's where I see the major complaint of the business coming back of, oh, I'm feeling targeted, or I'm feeling like they're trying to pick on me or interfere with my business. And so that's where, again, making sure that we're taking the steps to be a resource and be as supportive as possible so that if nothing else, we disarm that argument from them.
Yes. And we take education around all the time, and we're constantly reminding, like, we have posters about the 21 and under rule, like, you have to be 21 and over to buy. Like, we're constantly trying to be in and talking to our retailers so that our relationship is good. And if they do end up selling, they feel like they can reach out to us and we can talk about it and explain, well, when you signed up for this permit, you were signing up saying that you would comply with the law, and this is how we check. We go around with an officer on these compliance checks. It's not like we just go and take a kid. Like, the officer comes with us to every single store, and the officer actually, so our violation goes to the store owner, and the officer gives a citation to the person who actually sold. So both parties are being held accountable. It's not just falling back on the owner. Does that make sense? And when we send out a violation letter, we give the owner an opportunity to have us come in and educate to lower the fine. Like if you like, cause that's the most important thing, is to educate, get in, have conversations, answer questions. Like that's the most important thing for us. So that's what we really try to push.
This is Lynn Hansen. When you sent the certified letter, did the owner sign for it?
Yes.
So you have proof that the owner knows about what's going on?
Yes. And I spoke to the owner on the phone as well. Another question.
What's been the owner's response?
Nothing. The only response that they had was on October 17th, after the violation was given, they came into the health department and wanted to speak to the manager. So that's when I called. And then from there on, no reply on anything. Yeah, with the signature, with the certified mail.
And it was actually the owner's signature?
Yes.
Okay.
And do I have any other questions or comments?
Hey, Zach.
Yeah, Jordan.
So I think we just need to be consistent and follow our process and go through the fines and then whatever we can do to educate and move forward. But I'm in support of that.
In support of the suspension?
For the violation.
Because
yes.
violation three is $2,000 or the suspension. And when we reviewed it with the state, they were leaning towards the suspension, but since previous violations haven't been paid yet. So I just wanted to make sure.
And I guess, sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
That's okay. I just had a question about what is the recourse if you just do the violation? The third violation, no suspension, and he doesn't pay. What's the recourse then?
So then it would go into a fourth violation, which is another $2,000 and a revoke of the tobacco permit. And that's an and, it's not an or on fourth violation.
So I guess just to verify, it's the sell of, it's not carrying on the store shelves or anything like that. So they're not thinking that they've found a loophole in the system and I can't carry it, but if they ask for it, I can sell it to them.
They have to remove all of it from the shelves. So it can't be seen anywhere on the shelves and they can't sell it.
Okay, so it's that second piece, and they can't sell it. Because, I mean, they've correct. Technically removed it from the shelves. It's not on. But, I mean, if you know the secret handshake and you ask for it, he was willing to sell it.
So the permit that they have does not cover flavored vapes. And that's what they're selling behind, like in the back room. They're going in the back room and getting those. And that's what's, yeah, they cannot sell that.
Okay, and I guess that's my question on the policy, is it specifically that they cannot sell it, not that they can't carry it, but they specifically cannot sell that.
They correct. Cannot sell that. No tobacco whatsoever, yeah, with the suspension.
This is Debbie again. If they can't sell it, could they give it away? You know, two for one?
So Per Utah code, nothing can be given for free. They can do like a buy one, get one, but that's another thing we check on our inspections is there any signage that is promoting buy one, get one free or something that's, it's not allowed. So yeah.
So your transaction logs that they never showed you, is there a violation specified for that as well?
Yes. So that is what the violation is for. We do not have actual proof that they're selling the flavored vapes, which is why we asked for the transaction logs, because it would tell us exactly what's being sold. And yes, per we have the code, Utah codes right here. Transaction statements provided within 14 days. They have to keep transaction logs and they have to have access to it. It's part of the permitting process and Utah code. And then we're legally able to ask for that if anything is in question.
So really specifically, that's what they're in violation right now. Yes. If they're not providing you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, yes, I would support this because it's not necessarily that we're interfering with business. It's just that they're not doing their due diligence to make sure that they're running a lawful operation.
Yes. Yes. Right.
You have my support. Go get them.
Thank you.
I think that, this is Debbie, I think they need to follow the law just like the rest of us have to follow the law.
Yay.
This is Brianne. I feel that they've been given a few chances, so I think this is the next course of action.
Thank you.
Have a great day and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate board weighing in on that. I anticipate that if this goes to suspension of permit, they will appeal, and then per our process, they'll come through me. I will of course hear what needs to be heard, but based on what I know now, it'll likely end up then again in the board, before the board. So appreciate your input. I appreciate Jessica, Paige, and Taylor for what they've done, and Lynn for her support and advice as well. We hate ending up in places like this, but it does happen once in a while. When it does, we just want to make sure all the boxes are checked. And so, thank you. With that, taken care of, I included in the agenda a draft of the talent management program that Eric in particular has been heading up, but has been diligent in getting a lot of input from the leadership in at the health department. He had some conflicts come up today, and we're at the point of revising and finalizing this draft to kind of fully present it in March. But wanted you to have a brief look at that, where we're headed. This is part of the process of accreditation, but even more just kind of producing a product that our employees now and in the future can look to for guidance and understanding what to expect out of their potential opportunities at the health department. So because Eric's not with us today, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, but certainly willing to entertain questions if you have had them from a brief review or have ideas about where you'd like us to head with this. I think one of the neat parts of this is just understanding if you're hired as a nurse, what are the expectations and what are the anticipated areas that you'll be able to grow in terms of your contribution to the health department and also in terms of wages, and kind of understanding really how someone can move from point A to point B. So that said, I'll be quiet about this, and if there's no questions at the moment, we can move on.
Just for clarification, Brady, did you say you had sent that out as a draft?
It's linked in the agenda right now.
Oh, unfortunately, I haven't even looked at it, but I never saw it. So I have no comment on it at this point.
And that's okay. Like I said, Eric is the brainchild behind this one, and I think we're shooting for March anyway, so it'll be there. I will send out that specifically as an attachment, so it won't be sort of just as a part of this agenda you can review.
Thank you.
Okay, sounds like we can move on. In terms of there are some items in the public health report simply for review. We appreciate our partnership with the multicultural program, and they have produced, I imagine this goes to all their partners, but if you recall, we, through one of our grants, partnered with them for a food program over the summer, and you see that what they did with that. That was excellent to review. The vital statistics audit, we need to take action on to accept that.
Brady, can I mention that one?
Yep.
Okay, so this is Tracy. So Bree is new as our vital records registrar, and she and Brandy went to a meeting in Moab, and we haven't had an audit on vital stats for quite a while. And so they were told that they were going to get an audit and given information that they needed to do. And so it was just going to be an educational audit. So when they got here, they had already implemented everything that they needed, and so their audit was done at 100%. So I'd just like to give kudos to Bree and Brandy for working on that and getting it right before they even needed to. And that's all.
And we do need an approval to accept that. Is that right, Brady?
Yeah.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to accept the vital statistics audit.
This is Brianne. I'll make a motion to accept the vital statistics audit. Good job, Bree and Brandy.
And I have a second from Commissioner Leonard. All in favor? Any opposed? Excellent. Thank you. And welcome, Rihanna.
Sarah, you have additional report for Clinical and Family Services?
I can give just another quick update. With Clinical and Family Services right now, we're working on streamlining some of our processes. So our PAT program, they are doing an amazing job. We've had PAT for about 4 years now, a little over 4 years. We have three educators in the Price office, one in Brand and one in Emory County right now. So we've taken on some more clients and added Allison as a new educator in the past couple months. So we're excited about that. They are also working on Blue Ribbon status. So that's an affiliate status that's recognized nationally with the PAT program. It's kind of like accreditation for PAT. So they're working hard on that. Within some of our other programs, Hannah, our EPI, she has been awesome to help us create our maternal mental health screening in our own platform so we can house our own data. We're really looking at housing our own information, our own data, so we can use it to improve our services down the road. Hannah's been instrumental in helping us create that screening. So we all use the same screening across WIC, PAT, all of our programs, all of our MCH programs. And we have a resource page that they send out. We're always looking for resources to add to it for maternal mental health, so we can keep that with the latest updates. Within our MCH programs, we're working on internal, we call them QI projects. We're streamlining our targeted case management program. We're doing a screener called SEEK, and we are streamlining our maternal mental health. So we have given each office a little program to one of our contracts to take on and create a plan of how we can streamline and increase our numbers and develop our services even more across all three counties. So we're really working on that. The school nurses are right now working on immunization letters, making sure all the kids are updated. I'm trying to think what else we have. We're doing some media campaigns with Brittany. So we're going to do food for flu vaccines. But this year we've decided to do it with Heart Month. So we're doing some stuff like February is American Heart Month, protectors against flu. I also worked, I asked Jessica if Health Ed would create some heart health posters. And they're going to actually take those to clinics. So I thought that was really great. So we're doing some things like that. March is Nutrition Month. We'll advertise that way. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. We're looking at already planning our flu season for this fall. So we plan an order in January, February for flu vaccines for the fall. So working on different ways that we can approach our flu clinics already. So that's stuff that we've been working on.
Sarah, this is Debbie. I am curious, when you talked about all of these different services as far as how you are quantifying, your reach in each of the counties and as far as where you started, where you're at now, what's your goal, that kind of thing. And so would it be possible perhaps in March to have some kind of a handout to kind of give us a progress report on how well these different programs are going with some actual hard numbers?
Yes, I can sure do that. I'm not sure there will be a huge jump in March, but I am happy to give you an update, get some numbers, let you guys know how things are going. Yes.
Well, just so that we have something in black and white that we can, look at so that it'll help reinforce in our mind exactly what your nurses and your educators are doing.
Yes, and I think that will also be great, too, if I inform our staff that we're going to be submitting numbers that lights a fire under some people. So I think that is great. So motivation, yes, for sure, I can do that. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Jessica, did you have anything additional to add?
No, I don't.
Okay. I don't think Orion's on. He was having internet issues. Orion, did you make it on? In environmental health, one thing he is looking for is, it doesn't look like, I don't know if he received these attachments. I thought they were there, but, we already have a housing regulation, and there are some aspects of that regulation that are a little bit outdated and actually don't happen anymore. But on my, I'm wondering if those went out to the board at all. I thought they were there, but on my current agenda, I don't have a link to them. So did anyone happen to get those?
No, I have not.
Okay. I will just give you information then, and there's, these aren't really time critical. So we'll proceed on them in March, but that's the situation with the housing regulation is there are just some elements that we need to remove that we're not doing. And so we will highlight those. You can look for a red line version this week. The special event regulation, is kind of a version of a mass gathering permit. There is a mass gathering rule in Utah that applies to events of over 1,000 people for 4 hours or more that gather in a place that is not intended for, you know, not constructed to receive that many people. You know, it's out somewhere in nature. It's perhaps at a park, but maybe too many people to handle that park. You know, you think about the Delta Center. It isn't mass gathering, but it's doesn't require a permit because that's what it's built for. More and more, we are seeing events that maybe don't quite meet the 1,000 person limit. But they're 250 to 500, people and, bringing a lot of waste issues in and sometimes noise, sometimes garbage. Sometimes they're health and safety issues, because they're out in the wilderness somewhere. And we would like to propose, kind of a special, event regulation, so that we can have a little bit better understanding of what's happening in our counties and be able to essentially review those events, make sure that they have what they need to be safe, to protect public health, protect the environment. So it's a little embarrassing that you don't have this, but the process for this is we will get that to the board for your initial review, then put that up out for public comment. We'll probably do at least 60 days of that public comment and then bring that back to the board if there's any adjustments to be made, and if the board approves, then publish that regulation. So still a little bit of a process there, but that is the background behind what you'll see as we push that out this week. And it may have been that, so one thing I forgot to mention, Delia retired, a couple of weeks ago, and she managed a lot of the board agenda stuff and we are shifting some of those responsibilities around, and in that, as we are changing ownership of this document, we may have lost that link, but we're very appreciative of all that she did and excited for her possibilities moving forward, a little bit more freedom for her, and publicly thank her for the work she did, but may have resulted in a little bit of a miscommunication on our end. So you'll be hearing more from me and more from Brittany moving forward and related to the board matters.
This is Debbie. So Brittany, Garf is going to be our contact person now.
She and I will be, yep.
Okay.
Preparedness program's been very busy. They were down today doing a in-person coalition meeting in Moab with all of our coalition partners. Those don't happen in person very often, but a successful event there. We'll get a bigger report from them next time because they have a bunch of pretty neat exercises coming up. Then Brittany, any PIO information you'd like to pass along specifically?
Just a reminder, if those of you who have not completed the form for the campaign for the Board of Health, kind of meet your Board of Health campaign, if you haven't completed that, if you will, I'm just missing a few. And I think that's pretty much the only update I have right now.
Okay, thanks. We have an EPI report in there, but I'm going to skip to the building report. Kind of be upfront with you right now. I am at a loss about what to do a little bit with our Moab building. Moab continues to show signs of growth. The building as is, I would say, probably, exactly sufficient for us at the moment. We kind of maxed out its use. We'd love to have a bigger meeting area and a bigger waiting room. But it likely isn't sufficient for the long run. We have two proposals that are linked in the agenda that one from Arts Architectural, another from Jones and DeMille, who worked with us on our Price project. Both of them put the addition of about 3,000 square feet of office space, you know, $1.3 million around there. I think about this a lot, and I don't know what the answer is for that space. If there's a cheaper solution, or if we need to explore this more fully. In any case, if we did try to add on, then we'd go to the CIB, to try to get some, you know, hopefully a split of grant funds and loan funds. Doesn't happen quite as often these days, but, I don't know what to do. I'd love to hear input from the board. It maybe today, maybe moving forward, but, $1.3 million seems like, doable, but still quite a bit of money. And I'm lost. I'm treading water a little bit. But wanted you to see those proposals at least. Any questions with either of them?
This is Debbie. Are these proposals time sensitive?
To some degree they are, yes. Just because the further you go away from the date of the proposal, the price of labor materials will change a little bit. If we pushed it out a while, we would just have them give us a revised bid. But part of me is a little gun shy because we didn't have a great experience with our last building issue. We have a building subcommittee. We haven't had a chance to meet yet, so I guess I would ask if it's okay if I gather that subcommittee together and we can have a chat about options, and maybe they come back with a recommendation to the board in March.
This is Rihanna. I think that's a great idea because I don't, you know, I'm here in Grand and I don't know, you know, I don't have any good suggestions at this time about expansion. And I agree, you know, coming from our last experience, it's difficult, and space, office space in Moab is really expensive and it's difficult. So I think it would be a good idea to let the subcommittee talk about those details and come back in March and see if there's any suggestions at that time.
This is Debbie, and I concur to what Rihanna says. I'm glad I'm not on the building committee because I know nothing about buildings except I want them warm when they need to be warm and I want them cool when they need to be cool and have a bathroom. I'm glad for all of that. And so I concur. Let the building committee make a recommendation.
I'm in agreement with that. I guess my one question would be, it's perfectly adequate now, but how long until it's pressing that you need to change or need to do something new?
We probably have a little bit of time. We probably have, I'm guessing kind of on the outside edge, we probably have 5 years before we need to have something concrete.
So not infinite amounts of time, but enough time for us to make a wise decision.
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate to, if needed, to have, if the building committee, and I can't, honestly, I don't remember who is on it, that on that committee, would it be appropriate for them to ask someone to come in and with expertise in addition to the group that is already agreed to be on the committee?
That's something we can discuss. Yeah. I'm just kind of looking for a sounding board. As you can kind of tell right now, this is more just something that's really signing me quite a bit and isn't moving forward. But yeah, we will bring that up. But with that said, I guess I don't think I need any sort of vote on that. I'll gather the committee together and have a discussion. I think that's really it for the public health report. Moving forward, it's probably back to Zach. We didn't have everyone there that had participated on the health officer review. So I think we just need to vote on accepting that or not, and then nominations for the coming year. So I'll turn it back over to Zach.
All right. And I think, are we going to have discussion on the ad hoc committee, or is everybody comfortable with moving forward with a vote? What kind of discussion do we want to have there? And if it's a personnel discussion, then it does need to go to closed session.
I don't have a need to go to closed session.
Everybody was able to review that over the last couple of months and look at the ad hoc committee's recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then I will entertain a motion to accept.
I'll so move that we accept the health officer's evaluation.
This is Debbie.
I have a motion from Kathy and a second from Kelly. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Okay. Do we have any business that needs to be taken care of in closed session? All right. Then we'll look at moving on with the board chair, vice chair, and nominations.
I would like to put Zach forward as continuing as the board chair.
I'll second.
I appreciate your votes of confidence. Do we vote separately on those, or do we also just do it as one package so we look at a vice chair as well?
I don't know.
I think we need to do those separate, Zach.
Okay, this is awkward. All right, I will entertain a we saw a motion in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, none opposed. All right, you guys get Zach for another year. All right, let's look at the vice chair.
This is...
Go ahead, Rihanna.
Sure. This is Rihanna. For those of you who are on the phone, I'm in Grand County, and I have served as the vice chair for this past term. And I am pleased to continue serving on this committee. I would be willing to serve another term, but I would be also very welcome to accepting anybody else's desire to serve in that capacity. I think I would say that I've been able to maintain good attendance, which I'm very glad about because I have a lot of other commitments of boards and commissions and so forth. I think, like I said, I'm willing to serve another term, but I'm always a little, concerned with still having children at home and my other commitments as well. These take place in the evening, and that's usually not a conflict for me. So that's what I have to say about that. If the board wants to vote to me in again, I would serve again. But certainly, if somebody else wants to, I'm very would be willing to let somebody else do that.
Excellent. And Kathy, you had thoughts?
I did. I was going to suggest that Rihanna continue, but it sounds like she's kind of sitting on the fence. So I would also suggest that Brianne consider vice chair position.
It's funny because I was going to also re-nominate Rihanna too, but I kind of have some of the same concerns myself, just having a small kid at home and other obligations. So, I feel like you do a really good job at it, Rihanna.
I haven't had to do much this year. There's only been a couple of times that I've had to step in. What with Brianna and I's concerns, this is a good question maybe for the group. You know, if I have to be traveling on that date or need to prioritize my family, child has soccer or basketball or an illness, what happens if the chair and the vice chair are unavailable at that time?
We got to experience that back in November when I was caught in a snowstorm.
Yeah, Debbie filled in.
So, Brianne, I think it's I really enjoyed a lot of your contributions. I came on a little bit before you to this board.
And I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind, you know, taking a turn with that. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I will. I have a question. Are there some resources that I could just study up on some of the, you know, the bylaws and just some of the terms, just so I can become really familiar? I've been taking notes tonight, kind of wondering if this was going to happen, just on like all the details, but if anyone has any resources, so I'm just more prepared, I would be really, that would be great.
Sorry, but it's baptism by fire, Brianne.
Brianne, I'd be happy to send you some stuff.
Okay, great. Then yes. Well, I guess if everyone votes that way. See, I'm learning as I'm going.
I would entertain a motion to vote in Brianne as the vice chair. And Brianne, I, you know, have learned as I went too, and I think that those situations, you know, you learn because you're put in the position too, and I'm here to support you too, locally for sure, absolutely.
Well, thanks. I'll second.
This is Jordan. Thanks for wanting to serve, Brianne.
Yeah, thanks for the second.
And thanks for your work, Rihanna, last year.
Thank you. And like I said, I will, this is something I've definitely come to really appreciate being a part of this board. And as I've had other, commitments, I'm just trying to balance all of that. So I really appreciate Brianne being willing to step in that capacity.
Yeah, I'm glad I can help.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Welcome aboard. We'll send you a copy of Robert's Rules and make sure that you're a good copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People. And again, Rihanna, thank you for being a pillar in Grand County, for doing a lot of the stuff that you do, especially over this last year, having somebody to keep the peace and to work through some of that change. Thank you. All right, unless Brady has anything else, we can entertain a motion to adjourn. Wait, first, does anybody have any other comments? Board comments are important.
I just had a quick thought, Chairman. Talking about the building, I think our only options are expanding, moving to a new building, or building a new building. So I know that's tough in Grand County, but I think we'll just have to have a lot of conversations and see what the best option is.
I agree. That makes good sense to me. To be forward looking and to realize that we're not always going to fit in that building. So I think we need to make some plans for the future.
I like the old axiom, when is a disaster not a disaster? When it's prepared for.
I like that.
If there's nothing else, I'll move that we adjourn our meeting.
Excellent. And do I have a second? Because we don't need a vote. I don't even need a second?
You don't even need a second.
Oh, man. All right. See, we're all learning on the fly, Brianne.
Yes, we are.
All right. See y'all.
I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rihanna. Thank you, Brianne.
Yes.
See you later.